When I was in 770, as an Elter Abacher, we had Shiurim from the Rosh Yeshiva. The Yeshiva's name was Rabbi Pekarsky, all of us shalom. Rabbi Pekarsky was a Polish Yid from the earlier generation, who was a real Gaon. I mean, he used to quote Gemaras and Tesfos in the whole Shas. It was remarkable to see a Yid who really knows a Gavald of Torah. And I would never miss his Shir. I went to his Shir every week, every Wednesday. And although much of the time I wasn't learning the Masechta that was being learned in 770, it was Kiddushin, because I was learning Yidday or whatever I was busy with, I would never miss his Shir because his Shirim were, they were a delight, they were easy to listen to. They were presented very well. I mean, but the last time I had learned Kiddushin, I was probably 14. But his Shirim were really worthwhile. And he had an expression that he would use all the time. His expression was ashtikilenoyes, ashtikilenayes. Ashtikilenayes was his way of saying a chiddush, a little piece of news. That was his expression. Ashtikilenayes, a little piece of news. I remember sitting once in a farher, and we were doing it. He was farhering us near the day, and he said to the other person giving us the farher that the Rebbe liked. He called his derech the derech of Sochachov. That's how he referred to it. That you learn glatt, you learn off on platz, and ashtikel, alam of learning ashtikel and noyes. This was his expression. A little piece of news. And this expression stuck with me. The idea of zung achidish, a nayes. And of course, when you say news in Torah, the important thing is that it should be true Torah, and therefore true news, in as much as Torah is concerned. Achidish and Torah amiti. Which is a schus that not everybody is eichet to. I'm beginning with this story because I guess I'm looking for a milsa de b'dichese to open up the series of classes that we're going to be having on this maimed v'shafti v'shalom abei sovi from Tovshin Lamed Ches, which the Rebbe said in his room was a Shabbos Kedish Pashas Vayetze Tes Kislev. The idea of chiddush, the idea of novelty, newness, appears in Chassidus in more than one way. There is a concept that's a discussion in Chassidus called Eir Chodesh Al Tzion Toir, the whole thing about Eir Chodesh. It's also an idea of chiddush. But there's also the idea of chiddush in terms of fulfilling the purpose of creation. When you want to do something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu something which He is so much richer in than you are, you haven't given Him anything. You haven't given Him anything. On the other hand, if you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu something very small, but kvayachal, in whatever way it's possible to say, Hashem does not have it, then you've given Him a shtikel anayis, chiddush. A novelty, a newness. And this is how Chassidus discusses the significance, the worth, the value of the Yiridas HaNeshama Lamata. The Neshama comes into this world, struggles with a Yetzer Hara, like you have in the beginning of chapter 35 of Tanya. Lega Larik Vele Yuchola Kol Yomov. You spend your entire life fighting with the Yetzer Hara, you're never going to win anyway. So, what could possibly be the point? And of course, the only answer is because this is a chiddush. In this world, our Avodas Hashem is so much less precise and rich than it could possibly be in the Olam HaTzelyonim, for obvious reasons. But in this world, we have the distinct advantage of being able to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a chiddush, something novel. And the definition of something novel is, as they say in Yiddish, umervart. What makes it special is not how big it is, but how unanticipated it is, how much you don't expect it. And this is essentially what Alter Rebbe discusses in Tanya. It begins in chapter 35, and it continues, in a way, till the end of the Tanya, although it sort of directly winds down when you get to the end of Lamed Zayin, the beginning of Lamed Ches, that Hashem gives us the Yetzer Hara, and He puts us in this world, and we struggle with this Yetzer Hara. And we never win. And you wonder, what's the point? So although in the earlier Parakim, in chapter 27, in Perek of Zayin, the Alter Rebbe already asked this question. And the Alter Rebbe answered the question, L'kach nivra b'tchilasi, li'yes b'mechoma zu kol yomav, you were created in the first place. U'l'kach nivra b'tchilasi, you should be a beinini. And you should have this mechoma all the days of your life. In other words, instead of wishing that you were a tzaddik, understand that you were designed to be a beinini. But in Perek Lamed Hei, in chapter 35, he sort of asks the question again and argues, as they say in Yeshivish, Aberfart, but still, how do you justify a Muhammad that a Yid fights with his Yetzer Hara, which he never wins, and it's a frustrating battle, and there are unfortunately ups and there are downs, there's wins and there are losses. What could possibly be the reason why the Eibishter would elect for this, the Eibishter would choose this? Or in the language of Perek Chav Zayin 27 in Tanya, that it's a Mishnei Mininuch Nachas Ruach L'Fanav Yisbarach L'Maila, it's one of the different pleasures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets. So in chapter 35 in Perek Lamed Hei, the Alter Rebbe gives a different answer. That the reason the Eibishter puts a neshama into this world and it gives him a struggle, and a struggle that will never overcome, is because Nesava HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyas L'Yisbarach Dira B'Tachtoinim. In terms of how close you're going to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of how much Oyder the key you're going to experience, in terms of how your Torah and your mitzvahs are going to be affecting you, a tiny bit of lakus. It's a far cry from what the neshama can experience, lamayla. But in terms of the bittul that you're going to have to the Eibishter, each time you do a mitzvah, and to make a didah le'yisbarach b'tachteinim, to bring the Eibishter into the lowest world, you're incredibly important, incredibly significant, and that's the justification for why the Eibishter did it. That's the reason. The real reason why a person lives his whole life, never finishes fighting with his Yetzer Hara, because he makes a Dirah B'Tachteinim. The simpler and lower a person is, the greater the effect of the Dirah B'Tachteinim is when that person achieves it. There's a Avart that says, and now it's printed in a Sefer, it was a big chassid, one of the greatest chassidim of the Alter Rebbe. His name was Rabbi Isaac Homler. Rabbi Isaac Homler. He was a great chassid. The Friedrich Rebbe calls him Harav Hagon Ho Amiti Ish Ho Ashkelis, which the Gemara translates to mean Ish Asher Kolbei. Isaac Homler was a great chassid, a great gon, a great Yirei Shamayim, and a great Oivid, and a great Mekushi. He was a very big chassid. And he served three Rebbes. He was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, a chassid of the Mittal Rebbe, and a chassid of the Rebbe the Tzemach Tzedek. So the story was that he was not a tzaddik, he was a beinani. He had a yetzer hara. In contrast to the Hillel Parachet, who was much younger than he was, who was in the Madreges tzaddik. Yadua that the Tzemach Tzedek once said about the Hillel, le'ele rachma v'harav tzaddik rav Hillel when he wasn't well. So the story is that the Alter Rebbe called Rabbi Isaac Homler, the Alter Rebbe. The first of his three Rebbes called Rabbi Isaac Homler. And he told him, Eisel kum mit mir in mikve unichalir ufheben. Which means in English, come with me to the mikveh and I'm going to raise you up to the madrega of tzaddik. And Rabbi Isaac Homler responded that he doesn't want the bracha, he doesn't want the pu'ula nisis. He wants to work by himself to be able to achieve it on his own. And the way the story goes is that Rabbi Isaac Homler, who was Meirach Yamim, he lived a very long time. It's hard to know how long exactly, but he certainly lived into his 80s, maybe even to his 90s. Never became a tzaddik. He always had a yetzer hara. And at the end of his life, when he was not well, and his body would not listen to the will of his neshama, it's like there's a shtarak mevatelzan. He used to speak about himself in a very disparaging way. Now there's a vort from the Rebbe, b'negiyah to the Tzemach Tzedek, that the Alter Rebbe offered the Tzemach Tzedek a bracha for atzlocha in limud ha-teira, success in learning teira, and the Tzemach Tzedek declined it, and he said that he wants to harav by himself, and later on as a Rebbe he regretted it, and he said because teira zarucha me'eretz mi derechava min yam, whatever the Alter Rebbe would have given me, the Tzemach Tzedek said, I would have been able to achieve more on my own. But we have this idea where a person says, I don't want to have a bracha, I want to have your guy to a matzasa, you want to do it on your own and reach your own madrega. Derech agav, me'inyin, le'inyin, ba'isa'inyin. There's a different story with the Tzemach Tzedek and the Alter Rebbe, which is in a way a ma'isa listed. The nekud of the story is that the Alter Rebbe was the Tzemach Tzedek's grandfather. But he was his his primary caregiver, his mother had passed, and the Alter Rebbe raised him like a son. And the Alter Rebbe gave him a Derech HaLimud, what he should learn. We're talking about a boy of 8 or 9, very young. So it's a Machzedek, when he told over the story, he said that he loved to go out into the forest. He loved to go out into the forest. But he was afraid. So he used to negotiate with the Chassidim that they should take him out into the forest. What was the price? In other words, what would he have to give the Chassidim that they should do this teva for him to take him out into the wilderness? They would have to repeat something that he heard or saw by the Alter Rebbe. So the Alter Rebbe, one day, the Alter Rebbe gave the Tzemach Tzedek his daily regime, what he should learn for that day. How many blat gemara? It was a substantial. It was the load fit the camel. The Alter Rebbe gave the Tzemach Tzedek a measure how much teva he should learn. A very short time later, the Alter Rebbe looked out the window and he saw the Tzemach Tzedek negotiating with one of the Chassidim to take him into the forest. So the Alter Rebbe called him and says, I don't understand. I gave you a regime. I gave you to learn so many pages of Gemara and you're negotiating by going into the forest. So he says, I did what you told me. I did. I completed the whole regime. So the Alter Rebbe said to the Tzemach Tzedek, can I test you? He says, sure. Alter Rebbe tested him and he knew it well. In other words, it was incredible. It was... So even according to the way the Alter Rebbe understood the Tzemach Tzedek's head, it was excessive. And the Alter Rebbe then told him that when he was young and he wanted to relax his mind, he would study Sfarim as a relaxant. And one of the Sfarim he studied was the Siddur Shalom, the Siddur from the Shalom HaKadosh. As we all know, when the Alter Rebbe was a young man, before he came to the Magid Mimizrich, they used to call him Ashaloid, a Yid of the Shalom. And he says to him, in 2 or 3 months, I became a Bakkei in the Siddur Shalom. And the Alter Rebbe took his cane and he tapped the Tzemach Tzedek on the shoulder several times. And he said to him, Nadir Ava, Nadir Yire. Here, I'm giving you love of God, I'm giving you fear of God. So years later, the Tzemach Tzedek said, what I would do for a couple more of those pech. In other words, the Tzemach Tzedek appreciated how in the Zayde, the Alter Rebbe gave him a clap on the shoulder, gave him a little tap on the shoulder with his cane. It gave him something. And if he had only hit him a couple more times, it would have given him even more. And one final story in the same vein, if you will, the story with the Rebbe, that the Rebbe's mother related, the Rebbe Tzanchana related, that there was a time when the Alter Rebbe was in his late teens that he came down with a terrible illness, which was called typhus. He contracted typhus. The reason he contracted typhus was because there was an epidemic of typhus in those times. And the Rebbe, who sat and learned day and night, closed his gemara, and he went from bed to bed helping people who had this illness, and he got it himself. He caught it. And there was a short period when he was kvayachal in a delirious state, when he was not clear kvayachal, at least that would have appeared. So the Rebbe's mother said that during this little period, if you would lean over and listen to what he was muttering, he was speaking to himself. He was speaking about how great are the Eilim Eshol Yenim, how lofty are the higher worlds, and how it's worthwhile to go away from those higher worlds and come down into this lower world and to do a physical mitzvah and make a didal is baruch b'tachtein. How it's worthwhile to go away from what can be achieved in the higher worlds on the highest of levels, come down into this world and serve Hashem on a basic level. The varta is, the point is, that when you think in terms of giving something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when one gives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu wealth, you can't possibly give HaKadosh Baruch Hu wealth in the kind of way that will be meaningful to him. Because Liat Kesef Liazov, the Ibish is richer than anybody. If you want to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ruchni is Dika wealth. It's also insignificant. What the Ibish did wants from us, and what we give him, which is of meaning to him, is called Chiddush, Kvayach, so to speak. Chiddush, a nice, something that he's not expecting. And on that basis, sometimes the simplest person is in a much better position to give the Eibish to something great than a great person is, because a great person who acts out his greatness is nishkanayis. The Eibish gave him a great neshama, the Eibish gave him a great mind, the Eibish gave him great opportunities, he did great things. None of this is new. When a simple Jew does a simple act, but this simple act at Shalei Lefi Erkei, You would not expect that Yid to perform this act or to do this thing or to be involved on this level. And nevertheless, he shows himself to be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way. That's a shtikel and nayis. It's a chiddush. It's novel. It's new. And that's Klayachal why the Eibishter created the world. Dirleis Baruch B'Tachtein. And if you go back in the earlier generations, you had this Maimarim of the Rabbeim. The Rebbe also mentions it in the Maimarim, but the earlier Rabbeim also mentioned it. The Mashal of the Tzipar HaMedaberes. Tzipar HaMedaberes means a parrot, a papagai. And the story is, I'm sure I've told the story before, the story is that there was a king who had an officer, a very, very prominent member of his cabinet, that Sarach, he did some kind of a sin. He transgressed, he crossed the line. He did something that he shouldn't have done. And the king was very cross with him. He was very upset with him. And the king's reaction was to throw him out of his inner circle and to make it clear that he was not welcome back in, that there was nothing that he could possibly do to get the king to re-embrace him. So this officer, this former officer, was very broken, very upset. And he tried doing everything in his power. He tried doing everything in his power to get the king to re-accept him, to re-include him in his inner circle. He went to the king on his birthday, went to the king's mother on her birthday, on her anniversary, anything he can do to try and find a backwards way back into the heart of this king, and the king's heart was stoned, was closed, not available. So in his desperation, he went to a pet store and he bought a parrot. He took this parrot home and he wrote out a little speech of apology. And every day he would repeat this apology with this parrot until the parrot began to parrot it. The Viftach Hashem es pi ha-parrot, the parrot would open its mouth and he would rattle off this apology. Then he bought an expensive cage, a gilded cage, an expensive cage. He put this parrot into this cage and he sent the parrot as a gift anonymously to the king. And the king's officers, the king's servants bring into the king's throne room this gilded cage. Inside the cage is a beautiful bird. And the king says, from whom is this? And the answer that they give him is that it's an anonymous source. Nobody knows where this gift came from, but it's a gift for the king. The king takes this parrot out of his cage and he starts to play with it, and it's very beautiful, very entertaining, and all of a sudden the parrot opens up his mouth and he parrots the apology. And the king laughs. That's all. The king laughs. That this person, this officer, went to these lengths to try and get a bird to apologize on his behalf. And the king, of course, was not expecting a bird to give an apology. And therefore he laughed. Once the king laughed, now it becomes a technical exercise. Once the king was softened, he came back and he did what he needed to do and he found his way back into the heart of the king. This is the mashal. And the nimshal is that when you give Hashem something, and you're a Baal Maila, and you yourself are in an incredibly high level, you're in a substantial level, in a great level. In the Tokanayas, there's no Chiddush, there's nothing about it that's novel. It's very important, it's very good. Or to say it differently, for you personally, it's very meaningful because you, Taka, feel close to HaKadosh Baruch. But in terms of giving the Eibishter Nachas Ruach, in terms of fulfilling the purpose of the creation, bringing Elokus into this world, and making a dira le'ez baruch b'tachtonim, what's special to HaKadosh Baruch is not how much we do per se, but how novel and unexpected it is. It's called Chiddush. Now we have a 25-page maimer. As far as I know, this is the longest maimer from the Rebbe. It's certainly the longest mugadik maimer, edited maimer from the Rebbe. I don't know, it's 23 pages. It's, let's say, not 25 pages, it's like 23 pages. It's very, very long. This maimer came out Mugin Tovshin Lamed Tovshin Memches on the 10th anniversary of when the Rebbe said the maimer, Reshchedish Kis Tovshin Memches, and the Rebbe gave a copy of this maimer to everyone of the shluchim, only the shluchim, but the shluchim who came to the convention got this maimer. The Rebbe of Shafti B'Shalom Beis Ovi just came out for Reshchedish Kis of Tovshin Lamed Ches, which was 10 years after the Rebbe said the maimer. The maimer is very, very long, and it's very, very involved. And at the heart of the maimon is the idea that I just shared. The notion of chiddush, anayas. That when you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu something, in order for it to be meaningful and valuable to Him, the question is not how much it's worth and how big it is and how grand it is. Because those things are to Hashem meaningless. What determines the significance, the value, and the gift is how unexpected it is. Chiddush. And therefore, as we all know, sometimes a simple yid can give HaKadosh Baruch Hu something which even the biggest tzaddikim cannot. Not because what the simple Jew gives is equal to what the tzaddik can possibly give, but because of the chiddush of a davar. Like the story, for example, as you all know, the Feshidin HaMaisis, the story with Kukuri Kuhan, right, where the Baal Shem Tov was davening Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur was over, and Baal Shem Tov wouldn't stop davening. And the Chavraya Kaddisha, the Talmidim saw the Baal Shem Tov's Haftzaris, he was persisting, he was pushing. So they davened along with him to try to support him and trying to mevatel some gezeira. They understood that Baal Shem Tov is davening like this, something is disturbing him. And in the back of the shul there was a peasant boy from a farm whose mother used to bring him into shul just once a year for Yom Kippur. He was sitting in the back of the room. He saw the shturim in the Baal Shem Tov's cheder, and he couldn't daven, couldn't read a word of Hebrew. He stood a whole day in shul. Now it's Matzah Yema Kippurim, Matzah Yema Kaddish, and everybody is so suddenly earnest and intense because of Baal Shem Tov's tefillahs, and they were davening with the Baal Shem Tov, so he wanted to daven also. The problem was that he didn't speak the language, he didn't know how to daven, so he cried out, kukiri kuhan, the sound that a rooster makes. Because this was his favorite sound. He lived on a farm and he had memorized all the different sounds the various animals made. His favorite sound was the sound of the rooster. So the Chavraya, the Chavre and Shul were very disturbed and upset that a Jew should make such a joke and such a mood, Baal Shem Tov is so serious and so earnest. But before they had a chance to react, the Baal Shem Tov finished Ben Esra and he indicated they should leave him alone. And the Baal Shem Tov told his Chavraya Kaddisha later that this Yid broke a gezeira that none of them could break, including the Baal Shem Tov himself. And of course, if the Baal Shem Tov can't break a decree, how can a simple Jew break a decree? And there's only one answer really. The answer is Asachidish, Sanayis, Umervat. And there's a lot of stories, there's many, many stories about a Yid that said Tilim 5 times a day, could be Mevatla Gezeira, and so on and so forth. Sometimes the simplest people have the greatest chus, because what they're giving, their Abish is Achidish, is a nice, is novel, is special. This entire Maimed, this long Maimed, which you'll see Mitz Hashem goes on the Pasuk. And then it's going to go on the Pasuk, Vayikach. And then later on it's going to go on the Pasuk. That if you're going to give me that lechem lechel ubeged lilbish v'yidei yankev neder leiber, Hashem is going to make a vow. If you're going to give me lechem lechel ubeged lilbish, bread to eat and clothing to wear, v'shafti b'sholom abeis avi, I'm going to come back to my father's house. Hashem is going to become my God. And then he finishes, and this stone which I made into a monument, it's going to become Beis Elokim, the house of HaKadosh Baruch. This Maimon is going to explore this whole story. Yankov leaving Eretz Yisrael is going to Choron, which is a mashal of the neshama coming down into this world. And you take Me'avnei Amalkim, you take from the klip of the world, you transform it into Kedusha. And then eventually, v'shafti b'sholom aveis avi, that lechem lechel lebeged lubu, v'shafti b'sholom aveis avi, and havaya lila likim, and then yia beis alikim, that this entire sequence of psukim is describing the idea of yirida tzeirech aliyah. The neshama comes on into this world, it experiences an incredible yirida, and of course the point and the purpose of it is to have a subsequent aliyah, and it's all worth it. Why is it worth it? Because it's a chiddush, it's a nayis. Kvayachal, you're giving the Eibishter something which the Eibishter by himself, Kvayachal, doesn't have. That's going to be the toichen of this Maimir. But the form of the Maimir, in other words, the specific points that the Rebbe is going to make, are very exciting, very rich. And to be sure, if you have this chus to learn a lot of the Maimorim of the Rebbe, especially the Mugedik Maimorim of the Rebbe, you see this theme repeating itself over and over again. In other words, the Rebbe has ideas. To say that it wasn't said even once by an earlier Rebbe may be a simplification. Perhaps that's also true. But to say that the Rebbe did not develop these sugyas and open them up and make them understood in spite of the subtlety and the nuance and the controversy associated with them, there's no question that the Rebbe opened these sugyas up. And one of those sugyas is this idea of chiddush. What does one need to do to give the Eibishter a chiddush? A nayas. Something that Kvayachal the Eibishter was not expecting until the Yid gave it to him. And the answer, in a word, is tshuva. Anything you do as a tzaddik does not provide the Kadosh Baruch Hu with a chiddush. Why? He made you righteous. He's a representation of righteousness. You're a manifestation of that representation. So you're righteous. But tshuva which follows Avedis, a tshuva of any sort, this is a chiddush. And that's what this Maimon is going to be exploring, The Vayetze Yankiv, the Neshama leaves Gan Eden, Vayelech Harana comes into this world because of the Chiddush HaBedavar. The form that this Chiddush, that this novelty, that this Nayas, that this Maimer revolves around, obviously in addition to the classic terminologies which so many people, which everybody knows, the idea of Yerida, Tzeirech, Aliyah, the Neshama is coming down in order to go back up, for the neshama's sake, for the world's sake, and so on. The form which the Rebbe used to present his case, and by the way, you have this idea in many other maimorim of the Rebbe, some maimorim of the Rebbe, is the maimer azal b'min nimlach b'nish meiseyem shel tzadikim. The medrash that is based on a pasuk im hamelech b'milach te yoshvu sham, that when the Eibishter was contemplating, created the world, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nimlach, Hashem consulted, he took advice, took counsel. Kvayochal, as if the Eibishter needs help in making a decision, and the consultation that he made, b'min Nimlach, with whom did HaKadosh Baruch Hu consult, b'nish meseim shal tzadik, with the neshama shal tzadik. This is a medrash. Okay, simple enough medrash. And of course, you'll see amongst the many points that this maimer is going to make, that when it says, b'min Nimlach, b'nish meseim shal tzadikim, so you can immediately invoke V'yameich kulam tzadikim, every yid is a tzadik. And the Rebbe is going to offer a very rich interpretation to these words V'yameich kulam tzadikim, how you can say each yid is a tzadik, and it's actually going to make sense, it's going to hold true, because everybody yid wants to do the Ratzon HaElyon and so on. And then the Rebbe says B'bin nimlach b'nish v'seim shal tzadikim has a limitation. What is it that the Eibishter anticipated when he created his world and it justified the creation of the world? It's the avoda of tzaddikim. And then there is something which we can give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a hashtik el anayis, a chiddush, a novelty. That kviyachol, it's outside of this hamlocha, it's beyond this consultation, kviyachol. When the Eibishter, kviyachol, was contemplating and considering creating the world, he consulted with the neshamas of tzaddikim about what he wished, whether he should or he shouldn't, and the tzaddikim said it's a good idea. But the tzaddikim said a good idea only for the avoda that tzaddikim do. There is something that kvayachol was not in that original consultation, it wasn't, so to speak, part of that hamlocha, which yidden can give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is above and beyond that, so to speak, that planned destiny. And that would be tshuva. Avoidus ha-tshuva and baal tshuva, and that's a chiddush. It's a chiddush in as much as the Eibishter's plan kvayachol is concerned. And that's sort of the essence, the kernel around which this maimon revolves. Hashem created the world for avoidus ha-tzadikim. And on some level, of course, on a limited level, I would argue, we understand what a tzadik is. And the Eibishter questioned whether he should create the world or he shouldn't create the world, and the shamis shel tzadikim, the anticipation of what tzaddikim are going to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu justified the Eibishter as creating the world. So if and when tzaddikim realize this purpose, if and when tzaddikim complete this destiny of making this world a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it would be an incredible accomplishment, a great achievement. But a chiddush it wouldn't be. A novelty it wouldn't be. In order for it to be a novelty, it has to be outside of the hamlocha, outside of the original plan. Now, of course, it goes without saying, not that this is a discussion which we should dedicate time to, but it goes without saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future. And of course, if Yidden are giving the Eibishter tshuva and Mailas tshuva, and of course, like the Rambam speaks, and the Rebbe mentions it also in this Maimir, that if Ticha Teira, Yisrael b'seif galus and esim tshuva v'yad hei negolim, that one of the things that happens in anticipation of the coming Mashiach, Dafke, is the Avedis HaTshuva appears in the Maimir in Perek Yud Beis, on the top of page Ayin Gimel. So certainly the Eibishter knows what we're going to do, but it's outside of the Hamlocha. It's outside, it's beyond the basic design of the creation and what the Eibishter put into the creation directly for the creation to give back to him. Obviously, anything anybody's going to ever do comes with the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the investment the Eibishter made in his world that justifies the purpose for the world is Avedis HaTzadikim. and that tzaddikim should do their avodah betachas hashleimus, this would fulfill the divine purpose, and this would satisfy the hamlocha, the consultation that the Eibishter made before the creation with the neshamas of tzaddikim, that he should make the world, and so forth and so on. But a chiddush it wouldn't be. A nayis it wouldn't be. That we are giving something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's outside of that, it wouldn't be. But when we do tshuva, we're giving the Eibishter a nayis, a chiddush. And again, certainly Hashem knows what's going to be, but it's not part of the way the Eibishter programmed the world. In other words, Hashem puts of Himself into the world what is necessary for the tzaddik to fulfill his mission. And when a yid gives the Eibishter tshuva, it's a chiddush, it's above and beyond that basic design. But the Maimer is going to get very, very involved. You know, one of the ideas that the Maimer is going to have, it's just language, but it's very precise language. The Rebbe is going to talk about yeh chiddush versus no chiddush. The idea of doing an avoida, which is incredibly precise and perfect and whole, but is not a chiddush, versus the avoida of chiddush. And the avoida of chiddush is avoida satshuva. And then later on in the Maimer, what I'm sharing with you begins on page Ayin Hey, or Ayin Vov. But later on in the Maimer, you're going to have on page Pei, in Sif Chof, the Rebbe is going to introduce us to a new term, Chiddush Amiti, Chiddush Amiti. As if you were to say, it's one thing to give the Eibishter the fulfillment of the possibility that the world has in terms of Hamlocha, B'minim, Melech, B'nish, B'seim, Shal Tzadikim. It's quite another to have the Maila Satshuva and the Avodah Satshuva, and that's even from Chiddush. And then beyond Chiddush is something called Chiddush Amiti, a more novel Chiddush. So this Maimer is going to develop this idea. That's what this whole Maimer is about. The Maimer begins V'shafti B'shom. That's the Dibra Mascha, the Maimer. Yeah? But it's a Maimer on the beginning of Pashas Vayetze. Yankov Avinu leaves Eretz Yisrael, he goes into Chorim, which is a mashal for the Neshama coming into this world. And he's Mevarer Birurim, he deals with the world, he elevates the sparks of the world as represented by the Pasuk. Vayikach Me'avne Amokov Yosem Erashesev, he takes the daimim of this world and elevates it. And then, of course, the result is that Yir Lekimi Madi and Ushmarani Baderech Hazeh V'Nosan Li Lechem Lech Eloveged Lilvish V'Shafti V'Sholom Abeis Ovi. So then it says two things. Hoya Havaya Li Lekim, Hashem is going to become my God. And Evan Hazeh Yir Beis Lekim, this stone is going to become Beis Lekim. And this whole story, this entire episode of Yankov going into Choron and struggling with Lavan and Esav and coming back as a success with Mitas Shleima and all the other milas that Yankov achieved, is a mashal for the neshama coming down into this world. To make a dira leyisbarach betachteinim, to fulfill its purpose, you need a tzeirech aliyah. And not only will the neshama fulfill its destiny in terms of being a tzaddik, which would be the satisfaction of the hamlocha b'minim lech b'shteim shal tzaddikim, it would also be avedis hatshuva, which would constitute a chiddush. Moreover, there'd be another whole dimension of tshuva, which the Rebbe calls a chiddush amiti. And in short, the Rebbe is going to, so to speak, give us a number of different steps to represent the idea of tshuva versus avedis tzaddik, which is chiddush. And within tshuva itself, different steps and levels in tshuva, which would separate between the word chiddush and the word chiddush amiti. And of course, the basic point is you come into this world and you're isek and avedis habirurim. In other words, when you talk about tshuva and chiddush, you don't just learn teir and do mitzvahs, but you elevate the physical things within the Eibishter's world. When you elevate the physical thing within the Eibishter's world. And the Rebbe is going to explain to us that within elevating the things which in the physical world, which would constitute a chiddush, there's different steps, different stages. One would be elevating the physical thing in the physical world when you're learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. And of course, to do mitzvahs need physical things. And another would be that when you elevate physical things in the physical world, in as much as you're doing kol masecha yil l'shem shamayim and b'chol drochecha de'eyu, that all the actions that we undertake are for the sake of the Shem Shemaim, for the sake of heaven. And behold, all of our ways we know God, which means you take ordinary things that you're using in an ordinary way. It's not connected to a mitzvah directly. But there's a l'shem shamayim, but for the sake of heaven. And moreover, there's a da'ehu that through this thing you come to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a bigger chiddush, it's a greater novelty than the physical things that we elevate when we do a mitzvah and learn Torah. Another aspect that's going to come up in this whole scheme of chiddush is the Rebbe is going to address the difference between tshuva as it relates to the neshama and tshuva as it relates to the guf and the nefesh habamis. The neshama comes on into this world, and the neshama has to deal with the challenges and the hardships of this world. When the neshama overcomes those hardships, it's the infant tshuva. But the neshama should come back, loshov alcheik avia kenyorel, like you have, I guess, in Tanya Pei Deklam Adaf, and Alter Rebbe describes in Tanya chapter 31, that when a person is upset about the hardships of his being in this world, so instead of being sad about the limitations of this world, he should rejoice in the opportunity. The Lashon and the Alter Rebbe is take it nafshe be'enov, l'smeich b'simchas ha'yeseh me'beguf ha'nivzeh, shalil ha'arvi v'laval b'simchas ha'nefesh pe'itzavin ha'guf. Instead of worrying about your body and your animal soul's distraction, think about the preciousness of your neshama, and don't allow the sadness of your guf to take away from simchas ha'nefesh, the joy of your neshama. And you should dedicate your entire life to redeeming your neshama and bringing it back to the Eibishter. In other words, the tshuva of the neshama itself. And in Pelech Lamed Aleph and Tanya, the Alter Rebbe describes that the tshuva of the neshama itself is called Yom HaBetshuva. Every time you learn Torah and do mitzvahs, you're bringing the neshama back to the Eivishter, like the son of a king who was in prison, and he was taken based on Surim, and his shovel, Cheik Aviv HaMelech, how much simcha there is. But it's the tshuva of the neshama, you see. The godly soul is coming back to Lakus. So the Rebbe says, when the neshama comes back to the Eibishter, even when it's doing tshuva, it's not mamish achidish. It's a much greater chidish when the guf and the nefesh habahamis come back to the Eibishter, the body and the animal soul. And of course, when you speak about the body and the animal soul coming back to the Eibishter, you have these two ideas, how the body and the animal soul come back to the Eibishter, by elevating gashmis and learning Torah and doing a mitzvah. And a bigger chidish would be how the body and the animal soul are coming back to the Eibishter, not in doing a mitzvah directly, but b'chol drachecha de'eyu and kol masecha yir l'shem shamayim. And then there's one final point of degree of chiddush versus non-chiddush. And that is that the Rebbe is going to explore the difference between the chiddush that happens in the person and the chiddush which happens in the world. Our neshama comes out into the world and it has a mission, has a mandate. And the mission and the mandate that the neshama has takes place against the backdrop of the real world, in quotations, whatever the word real means. And the neshama struggles to overcome his hardships and to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which constitutes Avedat HaTzadikim, and it constitutes Avedat HaTshuva, first the Tshuva of the neshama, and then Tshuva of the Guf HaNefesh HaBahamis, and so on and so forth. And the two levels of Guf HaNefesh HaBahamis, in Teirah Mitzvahs, and Bechol Derechecha Deyu, Kol Masecha Yir L'Shem Shamayim. In addition to all of that, is how you elevate the world. I elevate the world by doing Torah and mitzvahs. I elevate the world by elevating the gashmis to Torah and mitzvahs. And I elevate the world through the aveda of kol masecha yil l'shem shamayim and b'chol d'rachecha de'eyu. And the Rebbe is going to conclude that the greatest chiddush is not what happens in the neshama. The greatest chiddush is what the neshama affects in the world. The greatest chiddush is not what happens in the person, in his coming closer to Hashem, in spite of whatever obstacles and hardships and challenges and difficulties that he has. But the way the neshama affects the world, the environment, and the world around himself, this constitutes the greatest chiddush. And that's what this maimer is about. This very, very long maimer revolves around this nekuda, that we're here to give something to the Eibishter. Now, what can you possibly give him? There's nothing you possibly give. So this maimer says you can give him lots and lots of what he already has. And then he can give him something which kayochel, and of course kayochel means so to speak, he can never say that this is actually so. Give him something which he doesn't have, a nayas, a chiddush. And the nayas is tshuva. And if I may bother you to look on page Ayin Hey, in footnote 125, so the Rebbe brings a kutatata in Pashas Baluk, where he says these words, Jezehu hatirutz ho'amiti lomo yordo ha'neshama leilam hazeh. It's footnote 125, on page Ayin Hey. where the Rebbe says that there's many different, you know, you ask the question, why did the neshama come into this world? And Mestama, you know the vart, I probably told it to you many times. I heard this from my mashpiyim, from my elter abochrim, when I was a kid, that the zachsidish avart, which goes back, of course, generations, that when you learn the Kutatera, you find a strange thing, a strange phenomenon. The Alter Rebbe starts off a maimer with a pasuk, or a maimer chazal, on a parsha, on a yom tov. And at a certain point, the Alter Rebbe will say, "O lahaven zeh yesh lahagdim tchila." You have to first explain, "Lama yorda neshama lamata? Why did the neshama come down into this world?" And he'll give you an answer. In one way or another, he'll tell you, you read the tzeirach aliyah, for the neshama, for the world, and so on. You turn the page, another maimer lekut teira, again, based on a pasuk or a maimer chazal or a yom tov, and the Alter Rebbe at one point will say, to answer these questions, you must preface first, lama yarda neshama lamata, and I'll give you an answer again. And you turn the page, it's alba kasha nachama. So Chassidim asked the question, how many times Alter Rebbe can ask the same question? He asked it in the first maimer, he gave an answer. As the second maimer, and oftentimes the answers are similar. So the Chassidish Shavart goes that Alter Rebbe is asking a hatz kasha, and he's giving a kop teretz. When you ask a question with your heart, why would the Eibishter take a neshama? Which is the same question you have in chapter 31 in Tanya, when he's talking about the neshama. And chapter 35 in Tanya, he's talking about the interface between the neshama and the world. Why would the neshama come down into this world? Lega larik, v'la yuchala kol yomav. Why would the Eibishter do it? So the Alter Rebbe is asking this question from his heart. It's painful. It's rachmanos on the neshama. I've told this to you a number of times earlier, that there's a sip with the Mittler Rebbe, that in the night of his histalkos, he went into a trance. And the Chassidim went into a panic and started screaming. And when he came out of his panic, the Chassidim asked the Mittler Rebbe whether he was able to hear them or not. And the Mittler Rebbe said, "Yechob gehet, I heard. Vos tuta za heichenishom en za nididikevelt. What is such a lofty soul doing in such a lowly world?" The question, Lama asav ayekoch. So the Chassidim say, the Alter Rebbe keep asking the same question, keeps giving answers, and oftentimes they're repetitive, the same answers, and he asks again. Why? Because you ask a question with your heart, you can't possibly answer it with your mind. After all, it screams, "Vai." So all over the Kutateira, all over Chassidus, the question is asked and there's many answers. So the Rebbe's Mitzayin here, Lutayda and Balak, it's Atir, it's Hamiti, the true reason. Lom wa yardin asham ul eilam azeh, zin yinak tshuva. And what's the pshat tshuva? Tshuva, the pshat koyachal achidish, that you're giving the Eibishter something which is outside of the hamlocha. It's outside the parameters of koyachal, the Eibishter's original plan, which he created the world. Of course, you cannot say that you're doing something that Abisha didn't know about, Abisha didn't plan, didn't anticipate. But it's outside of the design of creation, in as much as the creation has a definition. It's beyond. It's more than Kveyachal the Abisha plan, the Inyan HaTshuva, Ma'alas HaTshuva. That's what Maimer is all about. This Yisrei. And I must add, again, if you look in footnote 124, you'll see that the Rebbe spoke about this in Tav Shalom Ches, right after the heart attack. The Rebbe spoke about this more than once. There's also Maimer Neach. The Rebbe spoke a similar idea that the Eibishter knows everything we're going to do before we do it. So exactly what are we accomplishing? So there's two parts to the point that the Rebbe makes in that Maimer. One part is that we give the Eibishter tshuva, which is higher than Avedis HaTzadikim. And the second point which the Rebbe brings in that Maimer is that the Eibishter sees everything we're going to do on a Madreig of Koyach. A madrega potential. And when we do it, we add the mile of pale, the idea of actualization. So we're going to stop now. And in Mitzvah Hashem, the next time we're going to start reading. And I want to tell you my plan. I mean, I'm obviously prepared and I intend to continue preparing so I can give a shiur in an orderly fashion. But I'm not going to be learning the Maimon from beginning to end. I'm going to start off in the next shiur by learning Perik Yudalit, which is where the Rebbe is going to say everything I just told you. In other words, the introduction that I gave you tonight about that the purpose of the world is chiddush, tshuva, and that there's two levels in chiddush, stam hazaya chiddush, and a chiddush hamiti. And the Chiddush Amiti consists of not only elevating the Neshama, but elevating the Guf and the Nefesh HaBamis. And not only elevating the Guf and the Nefesh HaBamis, but elevating the world. And not only elevating the world through Torah and Mitzvahs, which as you'll see, is going to be called in this Maimed Amir to Hashem, Lechem Lechel Ubeged Lilbish. But rather elevating the world through the Avodah of Kol Masecha Yil L'Shem Shemayim B'chol Dorochecha De'ehu, as it relates to the Chefs of the world, this is going to constitute a Chiddush. And this Chiddush is going to be represented by the words V'shafti B'sholom. V'shafti B'sholom means I'm going to do a peaceful tshuva. V'shafti Moshen tshuva. That you're not going to go back to the same place you came from, but there's going to be Milas HaTshuva and Yisen HaTshuva. So we're going to learn in Mitzvah Hashem the heart of the Maimed. That's my plan. In the next Shiur. And after we do that, we're going to go through the Maimed. And again, I'm not going to teach it in order. I'm going to teach it in the order of the Psukim, which means we're going to learn the part of the Maimed which talks about the Pasuk. And then after that, I'm going to learn with you the Psukim that are going to speak about the Pasuk, Vayikach Me'avnei Amokim V'yosam Erashesam, which is the idea of taking from the Gash musical world and elevating it to the Yebishter. And then we're going to learn the pasuk with which the Maimon begins, which is Im Yiyeh L'kim Yimod Yishmarani B'terech Hazeh Asher Nechi Heilech V'nasli Lechem Lechel Beged Lilbish V'shafti B'shalom Abeis Ovi. And then you have two ideas. What happens to the person through this Chiddush? And then Evan Hazeh Yiyeh Beis L'kim, which means what happens to the physical things that a Yid elevates Nisa V'desa Tshuva, which is a chiddush that happens not in the person, the chiddush that happens in the world.